Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Speaking of cold, it was cold in Detroit, which necessitated a doubleheader because the game was out the other day, which they played two yesterday. And they fought through the cold, Chris, by playing two seven-inning doubleheaders. And it brings up a conversation, and you can join us. You always can, as we're brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair. And we'd love for you to join us this morning about this. There's a discussion about history to be had. There always is. Whenever you talk about these seven-inning doubleheaders, should they be recognized in the books? What if a guy throws a no-hitter? All of that kind of stuff. You know, relievers, they don't get the opportunity to maybe reach a point in which they can get out there and reach so many innings if they're trying to achieve this. Do we have to start in sports? And maybe this is long past starting, but do we have to condition ourselves in sports to sometimes forget about history? To live in the now a little bit more, maybe look for the future a little bit more, and tell ourselves, that's the way they've always done it. Maybe this is high time to look into some things and say, just because they've always done it that way, perhaps a better way can be had moving forward.
Yeah, I think you can embrace progress, really, in anything, and still acknowledge and admire history for what it is, right? It's a basis. It's a foundation. But that doesn't mean that things just stay the same forever. And that's in anything, any walk of life, any sport, whatever it may be. You can embrace progress and say, yeah, but you know what? As much nostalgia as I feel for the way things used to be, I can also understand that progress is good. And I think in the case of seven-inning doubleheaders, then you know what? Progress is good. Did we really need to see? And I understand all the points about, well, maybe the Pirates come back if they've got two more opportunities to hit in that second game. Maybe a reliever gets a chance to throw another inning in an attempt to build his arbitration case for next year. I understand all those ancillary issues that pop off of it, but did we really need to see two or three more relievers come in and then have two or three more pitching changes and the game takes another hour, an hour and 15 minutes to finish up? You know, there's a push and a pull and a give and a take to everything.
Right.
And part of giving into progress in some cases is acknowledging that things are going to be different and that, you know what, it won't always be an apples-to-apples comparison between maybe the pitchers of today and the pitchers of the 1960s. I understand baseball leans on its traditions and its history more than any other sport. You can still do that and embrace progress.
Yeah, and you're right. You can live in both and you can do both, and I think baseball is doing that right now, or at least trying to do both. It's fascinating to me, though, that you will get some old-timers that will insist that this isn't the way to go. You know, and I always ask them, I say, why? Well, baseball's supposed to be nine innings. Okay, why? It's snowing. It's Detroit. It's the end of April. Why can't we speed it up? Why does it need to be nine innings? Well, that's the way they've always played it. When that is your only answer, much like the DH, right? Well, when that is your only answer, when it's built on just nostalgia, I can understand it. But it's not like they're tearing down some great cathedral in Europe. It's not like it's going to impact our lives for the worse. Whatever. I think that in looking at things sometimes, it's okay to just go ahead and say, maybe in certain times, progress is very logical. It's just logical.
you can't always expect things to continue to be exactly the same. And, you know, if you want to go back to the 1960s and you want baseball to be what it was in the 60s, hey, there's some great aspects of what the game was 50, 60 years ago. I understand, and I appreciate them. You know, guys hitting for contact, action on the bases, starters going deep into ball games, throwing, you know, 15, 16 complete games a year. All of that. I appreciate all of that. But, you know, that was the 1960s, early 70s. Back then, you could smoke on airplanes, and it took you an hour and a half to drive from downtown Pittsburgh to Hampton because there was no Parkway North. Things progress. Things change. And this is part of it with baseball, whether it's a universal DH, whether it's seven-inning doubleheaders, whether it's my least favorite of all these changes over the last couple of years, the runner on second to start extras. It's part of progress. Things change.
Yes, yes. And I like it. I like that. I like, you know, and the thing about it too is it's okay. And we don't do this enough in society. You know, change doesn't have to be forever either. It's okay to try seven inning doubleheaders for a year, couple years. If they don't work, then you can abandon them. If you don't like them, abandon them. If you want to expand the roster some and you don't like that, abandon it. If you don't like this situation where you have to throw to so many batters out of the bullpen, abandon it. It's okay to try things, and you don't necessarily have to launch them in the games and they're there forever. I don't want to use it as one big guinea pig all the time, but you can, with different things, go ahead and try them.
Because part of the beauty of any sport, but I think baseball in particular, because of its timelessness in a certain way, is that you have to be able to find artificial constructs in some cases to compare one era to another era. In other words, you have to acknowledge mm-hmm. that things were different in 1920 for Babe Ruth, and that things were different in 1965 for Bob Gibson, and that things are different in 2020 for Bryce Harper.
Like right.
you have to wrap your arguments or your understandings or your beliefs about the game around the way the game was played at each point in time. Before Babe Ruth came along, four home runs in 154 games was a lot, and then the game changed, you know? Before Bob Gibson came along, the mound was 7 feet high or whatever it was, and then they lowered it. Before the modern-day game that we're seeing now over the last 10 years or so, 5 to 10 years especially, you didn't have guys hitting a home run, striking out, or walking in every single plate appearance. And look, we can still talk about how that needs to be altered and maybe philosophies around the game need to change, but that's all part of the argument. The game changes. The game changes in every sport, but in baseball, for some reason, we are more hesitant than any other game.
Yeah, and it's starting to – here's the thing. The health of baseball from a financial standpoint, I guess, is pretty good. But I do worry and wonder about the younger people, and I worry about its survival beyond this generation. And that, to me, too, it's not like it's flying around and it's great and everybody speaks of baseball like, wow, I'm so interested in it. That, too, is part of it. The things that need to be tinkered with in order for people to continue to be interested in it.
I think that, though, goes back as far as really the mid-90s. Mm-hmm. You know, there was the generational shift happened around the time of that year-long strike in the mid-90s. And we are right at that age, Colin, where we still remember baseball of the, you know, early to mid 80s, and we've had this conversation before, the St. Louis Cardinals who would run around the base paths, Vince Coleman 113 steals, all that kind of stuff, Ricky Henderson. And now I think it's not the style of game. We get caught up in that comparison too much. It's maybe something about the game just doesn't connect with the younger audience, regardless of whether it's home runs or stolen bases or complete games. It doesn't connect with them. And I don't know if trying all of these different things that baseball has tried is necessarily a bad thing in trying to reconnect with as much of the audience as they can.
And be sure to be listening for 10 o'clock today when at least one of those guys, well, I know one, will absolutely crush seven-inning doubleheaders because that's not the way they've always done it. Fan headlines, we'll give them those to you in just a little bit. Brought to you by Dollar Bank. Get low home equity loan rates at dollar.bank. Coming up next, I can't do it anymore. I've told you I couldn't do it anymore for a while. I definitely just can't do it anymore with one thing. All right, good morning to you. Take it or flush it, just a couple minutes, then a real interesting quandary with a couple potential draft picks. But I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry. I don't know what the push point is. And by the way, you can text us, Edgar Snyder and Associates fan text line. Also, we're brought to you by Matt Mertz Plumbing, Pittsburgh's leader in trenchless sewer repair. 0 for 5 yesterday, Polanco was. He was 0 for 2 in the first game, 0 for 3 in the second game with a couple strikeouts. Something's got to give. Now, I understand that people are trying to celebrate some of the positives. I don't care about a 116-mile-an-hour lineout. I would rather have a 4-mile-an-hour base hit, if that's possible. Give me that. Give me results. I need results. The guy's hitting 163. He's hitting 163. He is 0 for now his last 10 again. He's got a double all year. I think he has 2 home runs. He's got 18 strikeouts. He's got 18 strikeouts and 8 hits. And here we are getting towards the end of April. And I haven't even, Chris, I'll let you do that. I haven't even mentioned the defense, which for me was the worst part of yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you see a guy go from first to home and a guy go from the plate to second on a hustle double simply because they see where the ball's hit. It's a slow roller that got through. I understand that, or maybe not a slow roller, but a ball that hit the outfield grass and died a bit. But still, they know it's headed towards right center or right field, and they know it's Polanco. And the third base coach is windmilling as soon as the runner around second saying, nope, take it all the way home. You don't have a problem against this guy. I mean, he can't even throw the ball into the infield. We've said this ad nauseum, and I have a hard time, like I've said before, ginning up a whole lot of anger or outrage, let alone frustration over it. But it's just, it's difficult to see at this point.
I can't do it anymore. Something has to give. You know, I don't. Here's why. He's not going to be part of the solution when they get good. He's not part of right now, and it feels like he's blocking the configuration of the outfield. Go ahead and put Reynolds in center. Go ahead and put Phillip Evans in right and just move forward. Or I don't care who it is. It's just it doesn't make any sense for me anymore, and I really like Gregory as a person. He's just not good enough of a baseball player to be out there. All right, I'll put it this way. Here's the best way for me to put it. It doesn't matter what mode you're in as an organization. No matter what phase you're in, and again, I love him personally, but he's got to sit. It doesn't matter if you're in full rebuild, if you're fighting for a pennant, or if you're somewhere in the middle. A guy who's hitting 163, which he is, from a corner outfield position, which is supposed to supply some power, and can't throw at all, just doesn't deserve to play. He doesn't deserve to play.
Yeah, I don't. And here's the problem. I don't know. If you keep him around, what's the point, right? Like, it's either you're going to play him or you're going to release him. I mean, that's what it amounts to. I mean, you can keep him around on the bench if you feel like you got to do something. You feel some obligation to help him get back on track, or maybe you feel some obligation because of the salary you're paying him and you're going to continue to pay him. I don't know what it is, but I'm more curious now, to be honest, Colin, as to what the line in the sand is for Ben Cherington. What is the line in the sand as far as, okay, it's now been 3 weeks since the start of the season, and you outlined the numbers. Is it 4 weeks? Is it 5 weeks? Is it 6 weeks? How much longer do we have to see this continue? And this is on top of last year, which is on top of the 2019 season, the way he ended that year. All of it is, this is not a little blip on the radar. This is not a month-long slump even. This is what this guy is now,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Full-on identity is what it is. It's his major league identity at this point. It's sad to see, but it's the reality.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic? and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.